The Thief. An original adventure which hinges on the roll of the dice. By Michael Schofield. Played by Cece Way. Previously on The Thief.
The top is a letter with only a couple sentences, and it reads, "This
wasn't easy to get. Perhaps you'll find something for me that makes this worth the trouble. D."
Hey.
Maybe, you figure, you'll pay Baffert a visit tonight. It isn't that far of a walk, maybe half of a mile, and you are taking the streets. You reach the first intersection, passing quietly in the shadows, hugging one side or the other. You look down at your hands, and you have to squint. You can barely make them out from the darkness of the ground below. You are in good shadow. And as you ghost across the next intersection, one that is lit with crackling fire and a brazier on the edge, you first hear, and then see a watch patrolman clomp from around the corner. He is in a chain shirt, and he wears a flat iron helmet that is strapped down. But there's no actual facial protection. He is carrying a torch. Give me a stealth check.
Glad I'm rolling well. 26.
He turns toward the road that you're on and looks past you to the intersection. He turns his attention to the brazier and pokes it. Little flare-ups of embers cloud up around him. He puts his torch down and pulls out what you think is a sack of wine. He looks to his left and to the right. Then he throws it back. Glug, 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 glug.
So the brazier is in the middle of the intersection, right?
He's between you and it, and he is casting this deep shadow down the road. And you can see beyond the intersection that the roads going in the other direction are in shadow again. But getting to those, you'll have to cross a sliver of bright light.
Okay, here's what I would like to do. You know, I'm like up against this door frame, relative safety currently, and I just want to squat down and feel around on the ground for like small pebbles.
You're able to dislodge several from this old road.
What I want to do is essentially sneak up to the opening of the intersection and just chuck like a couple of these pebbles far down, either like left or right, but not the direction that I want to go, which is forward, which I think is also the direction he's facing.
Yes. I want you to make two rolls. First, a standard stealth check as you sneak up across the cobble. And then I want you to make a sleight of hand check.
So for stealth, I got 12. And for sleight of hand, 9.
You creep up behind him, and as you step down, a piece of cobble underfoot moves. The guard pulls his wine sack out. Huh? And as he throws the stone down the street, he actually looks and shies away from the noise in that direction. Shink! Pulls out a sword.
Is anyone there?
He nervously whips around, immediately turning in your direction. Give me a dexterity saving throw.
11.
You pull back into the doorframe, immediately on the opposite direction of where he is turning, and he can't see into his own shadow that he is casting. He backs up a few paces and steps up to the brazier. He turns around again and picks up the torch. Whoosh! He holds it up with a kind of flare, looking down the street for
he's
you.
He's looking my direction now.
Yeah, and so yeah. He takes one step down the street that you're on. and another.
If anyone is there, you're violating the curfew.
How do you respond?
I'd like to do two things, if that's possible. One is, I want to just, you know, it's like almost like with two fingers, like detach the face cover and just like swipe it on. I want to try to get past him. So I want to move instead of holding my breath and just sort of like hug the wall. Yeah, I'm moving towards him because what I'm trying to do is like stay in that like ambient shadow area.
Yeah.
As he's looking further down.
Give me a stealth check.
Okay. Unnatural 20.
You can tell from his eyes as he is just searching around that he isn't focused in any particular direction. There's even this glimmer to his skin that's kind of a sweat, this drunk sweat, that you can actually see in the way that he takes a step forward. He's scared, but he's not focused. He takes another step forward.
Hello?
As soon as he looks in the opposite direction, you swoop, whoosh, very quietly across the cobblestone and end up behind him, where you are between him and the brazier in this penumbra, between his torch and the light from the intersection.
You're not there. Oh.
You are in darkness.
I'm just seeing things.
And he takes another step away from you, yes, toward the other intersection.
I leave him be things. Because I don't want to leave a dead body here on my return route. And I keep going forward.
You don't come across any other patrols on your approach to the den. From Lorem's Hill, you are ultimately descending for several blocks until you have to move to the north and begin ascending again. Briefly, you can actually see at the top of this hill the old wall that surrounded the first city. And now there's no actual gates anymore. It has become a decorative arch. You can see the outlines of ultimately decorative vines that have started growing up and growing down. And you know that at certain times of the year they actually begin to bloom, and it is called the Flower Gate. You enter this open area where all the houses and buildings have been so tightly packed together there isn't much breathing room between any. But you end up in what is now a market square and used to be an old forum and place of governance. Right now, it's quiet. The cobble here is much better placed. And there's this large two-story old rat house that looms in the otherwise empty area. The nearest houses around are 30 or 40 feet from it, so it's standing by itself. You are facing the front of the house. The doors, these ornate metal doors with carvings, and you can see some kind of filigree there, are flanked by two bright torches. And down the steps from there, on either side of the stairs, are two guards, both of them holding torches. They're wearing full face helms, and you can see the glint of their chain shirts, their swords and their scabbards. And they're muttering to each other and looking at each other's direction, having a conversation. They're laughing. But suddenly the door cracks open above, and another guard peeks around. He looks down the steps at those two, and you can hear...
Is everything okay?
Yeah?
Yeah, I think.
Everything's okay.
Well, Bathford's getting ready to bathe and, well, you'll hear some noises.
I know.
And the door closes again. On either side of the manor are deep wells of darkness. And you know that on the rightmost side, toward the back, is an old well. You can also see windows open, three per facade, some of which are open on the second story. There are no windows on the first story.
Just based on recollection alone of the blueprints, do I remember where the room with the bathtub would be, if it's the bathroom?
If you were to wander through the front entrance and you go through a number of sitting rooms, there's actually a large open courtyard in the middle of the building that the walls surround, and it has an open sky above. There's actually a pool there.
Got it. I would like to go around the side, but basically what you would like to do is that if there's only two people and what they're doing is standing control at the front door, and there's no other windows, then it makes sense that, like, they're not really concerned with patrolling the first floor, per se. And so I just want to approach from the side, at every side except the front where the two patrols are. I kind of want to like stand under the windows and see what I can hear in terms of like what kind of room is this and is anyone inside.
You stay kind of on the edge of the courtyard and make your way around. I guess let's call it like the right first.
Yeah.
On the side of the well. You can see like as you come around and your eyes adjust again to the darkness now that you're no longer like looking at the torches, the silhouette of this old well in the like, back corner of the courtyard, or not the courtyard, of this square. You see someone sitting on top of it. There's a torch on a sconce that's on the wall nearby, which is probably about like 10 feet away from him. He's out there singing. He's like,
Yeah.
His back is to you. And immediately to your left is like this first facade of the wall, and it's undecorated. And you look up and you can see an open window with the shutters pushed out. Give me a perception check.
14.
You actually like put your face right up to the wall. You listen. The singing of this guard is drowning out any more delicate sounds. You hear a door creak open and you hear footsteps kind of clop around on a tile floor.
Just one more hour.
And then you hear the door close again.
Whatever she did in that room, I didn't hear any like water being poured sound. What I'd actually like to try to do, if possible, is to climb up the wall into that window. I'm gonna try to just throw the grapple over the window opening. 13.
It sails through the open window, but thump, you hear it clatter on the tile floor on the other side. The drunkard on the well is like, "Oh,
what's that?"
And he breathes kind of a sigh of relief.
I want to like walk up this wall with like the cloak billowing behind me, kind of a situation.
Yeah, side-eyeing this guard all the while, just waiting for him to turn around. He hiccups and he just slumps forward. And you hear like, "Oh." And you pull yourself up. Your cloak falls down with the weight of gravity and a wind catches it and billows behind you. You reach this window. The door was closed, but you can see like underneath, like a little bit like a soft light that you would probably recognize. It's just kind of like a candle nearby or a couple of candles. The room within is dark.
I put away the grapple again, just sort of like a default thing I do. Once I'm in there, can I see if there's just stuff in this room?
Yeah, you're actually in pantry. There's this kind of like pungent smell as you get in there. There's a small table with a sharp knife wedged into like a loaf of bread.
Yeah. So I'm in the pantry. I want to sneak over carefully to the door and just put my ear like on the door to see if I can tell if anyone is in the hallway.
Yeah, give me a perception check.
Okay. 21.
You hear a sloshing noise, either from memory or perhaps you check the map that Dry Point gave you. You know that you are listening to the pool on the other side that is one layer down. And on the other side of that is this balcony that goes around the inner courtyard. You hear conversations coming from a different direction from that slosh. You hear that woman again. But you can't quite make out what she's saying. It's kind of a mutter. You hear a deeper voice talking back. Then suddenly you hear footsteps as they come up by the door. This Doppler effect diminishes again into the distance. How long do you wait here listening?
Because I hear that, what I'm going to choose to interpret is that there's someone walking the internal periphery. So as soon as he gets past, but let's say in my head I'll wait like 5 seconds or something like that. Mm-hmm. I want to, as quietly as possible, open this door just a crack so I can see inside.
It's not locked. You push it open just a little bit. What you can see is that there is a little end table just a foot or so away with a small candle there. And beyond, there is another This is providing a little bit of light around the balcony. You hazard to push the door open a little more, and you can see at the end that you are facing, in fact, the back of the manor. There's a wide open door here where on the courtyard side there are two torches burning for light, and it is quite bright. Beyond these, you see golden carpet with kind of a red pattern. And there you see a servant, this woman you heard that you assume. Her hair is up in a bonnet, and she's walking across with a number of keys. You can actually see coming back around the balcony this guard that you had originally seen before poking his head out of the door on the first floor. He's on the balcony too, but on the far side, the other side of the courtyard. And he's there, leaning on the banister, looking at the pool. You can't hear him, but you can see his shoulders slump. You imagine he's making an exasperated groan.
So I imagine this square in which the middle is hollowed out, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm peeking out from inside of those squares, and in the middle there's the balcony, there's like an inner balcony, but if I got close enough to it I could look down and see what was going on, right? Mm-hmm. Now, is there anything in the balcony that obstructs the view at all?
There's a third layer above, a balcony supporting the structure of the roof with a few pillars along the way, and you can actually see down where these end tables are actually additional rooms, like the room that you came into. There are a few of that sort on all sides of the balcony.
There's only two servants on this level currently. I want to look for the right moment to duck behind a column, because ultimately what I want to do is I feel like the guy I'm after is in the center of this courtyard, and everyone is disgusted at whatever he's doing down there. I want to see if I can see him.
Roll one more stealth check.
Another 20, but again, unnatural.
You get the sense that the servants are preoccupied in the back, and this guard on the balcony is deliberately looking away. His arms are folded on the banister, and he is looking up. You hazard a glance yourself, and you see the clear night view through the courtyard roof. You quietly close the door behind you. Click, and you are in the shadow of a column. In this relative darkness, you can actually see your hand better. You look over the banister, and facing away from you is the bald pate of this obese lord. He has his elbows up on the edge of the pool. There's curly black hair all over his shoulders and his back. And he wears heavy, gaudish golden earrings. There's another servant down below on this lower platform that surrounds the pool, which is some sort of oven or stove that she is lighting along the way to heat it. And as she dares to get closer to this lord, he reaches at her. She pulls back and he laughs. How long do you observe?
She's counting in her head like 30 full seconds. She's taking her time. Patience is the part that gets her mark. She wants to know if at any time the servants who are like clearly busy with stuff on the other side have any reason to come this way. And she'll be ready to move if they do. But if after 30 seconds, nobody moves, right? And the guard is just kind of like dilly-dallying around, then she's gonna just, with no hesitation, pack off her back, assemble this crossbow.
30 long seconds tick by. The guard leaning on the banister shakes his head. The maid upstairs glances down over the banister, then says something to her counterpart.
Don't be a hero.
Give me a perception check.
One.
There is a nod of agreement between them, and they both walk into the rooms on the far side, then go in separate directions. All the fires of the inner bath are lit. You hear a door open, then close.
I'm going to assemble that crossbow right now. I'm gonna lay down to make it harder for the other guard to see me at all. This guy is a huge, naked target. I want to dip the tip in my basic poison. Take like a second to aim, or however long that takes, and then I shoot him.
Okay, so you have advantage because you're hidden.
Mm-hmm.
You have the advantage because of your assassinate feat.
Mm-hmm.
You have advantage because you are flanking him.
Mm-hmm.
Your advantages are stacked. You roll with a plus 10.
Okay. I'm going to roll two d20s at the same time. Ooh, so good. Okay, 26.
Let's roll damage.
Ooh, okay. I rolled the 10, so 13 with the crossbow. And then 2d6 is another 5.
There is a moment of quiet where everything around you stills. The servants are gone. The one below has not returned. Even Baffert has stopped swishing his fingers in the water. It is just quiet. There's nothing but the crackle and pop of the torches. The guard on the far side is out of sight, out of mind. And so you load your bolt. You hold your breath. And then you pull the trigger. The back of Lord Baffert's head splits open like a dropped melon, and his blood balloons out from around the crossbow bolt and pools in the water. He has one arm that's just keeping him aloft over the edge, and he bobs there like a cork in a dark cloud.
As I sort of see this scene that some may call rather beautiful, she doesn't put the weapon away entirely, and she sort of gets up off the floor and sort of stands behind this column, and she wants to try to make her way back to the pantry because she knows no serpents are in that room in particular.
Give me a stealth check real quick.
Oh, 26.
Just as you cross to the other side of this column that obscures you from the guard across the way, you catch him look down. What? What? Oh, raise the alarm! You hear the crash of a metal gong. On the far side where the doors are open, a platter of fruit tumble across the ground as the maid and the butler run forward in response. She screams. Elsewhere, you hear doors throw open while yours in the pantry creaks closed behind you, where you are a ghost. Through the window, you hear the gatehouse guards yell for the street patrol, who you can hear clinking toward the manor, down the cobble.
Yeah. Here's what I'm thinking about. Symphony remembers that letter in which Dee wants something more for his troubles, but as the guards are all rushing in, it also feels like the perfect time to rush out. So she just has to decide what she wants to do. So I go into the pantry, I pull the map back out. Is there anywhere in there that indicates there's like a room where valuables would be kept?
What you can tell is two sides. So on the first floor, where he's marked little X's, he's like, don't go in this way, which is the front entrance.
Yeah.
like not far beyond that front entrance, he's written art, question mark. Mm-hmm. And also like on the second floor, on the other side of the page, you see that big area with like the carpet that everyone's come in. Those are his quarters.
Okay.
Just as per convention, the servants probably live here, and the guards are sometimes quartered here. So there are different rooms that you could peek into.
The wooden supports made it hard to get up on them, but she gets the feeling that maybe getting down on them is a different story, and that the guards from the front probably have rushed inward. So she's going to try to just acrobatically get herself out and then go through the front again to try to get to that art.
Give me two rolls. Give me an acrobatics check and give me a self check.
Okay. So acrobatics, total of 17. Stealth, a total of 19.
You're able to scale without the need of your grappling hook, because you pull down, your fingers are strong enough, and there's enough purchase that you can actually start to shimmy down, and you almost kind of like ride it down like a pole, like down to the bottom. Your cloak billows like cinematically. You look to your right, and you see sprawled out on top of the well, a guard snoring. With a clatter inside, he's like, oh.
What's that? What?
You dip into the shadows, like around the corner. As you come around the front, you see the well-lit entrance and the empty guard stations.
I'm gonna dash right up to the door and take a quick peek around to see if there's anyone right there.
There is a hall that goes around corresponding underneath the balcony that you were standing on. And there's another set of double doors that are open on the other side, opening into the pool. And you see like the backs of these guards. On the far side, there's actually like a little stairwell that the guard that was on the second floor comes down now. He pushes open. I mean, he's running forward. The front guards are looking down. Baffert has like just his arm is up, so he's mostly underwater, obscured by this oil of like blood, and it's relatively like dark within, right? They're just like candles that are lighting everything and a couple of torches, so it's dim. They're talking frantically.
I feel like I want to take advantage of this because none of they're all looking at him.
You actually see a little bit down the hall that there's another small room with a nice wooden door with like a golden handle.
Yeah, so let's take advantage of this moment where everyone is still slightly in shock and trying to decide maybe if he's dead.
I would say that Baffert, you shot Baffert all of a minute and a half ago.
I'm going to just make a beeline for that golden handle door.
You can whoosh ghost across, but you are now this dark and sharp contrast silhouette in a well-lit hall. And you stand at the door, it's locked.
Yeah, let's pick it, see what happens.
All right, roll for it. You can give me like,
I got a 19 on sleight of hand.
That's enough. Good, thank you.
Yeah. I was like, before you think too hard.
I need Jimmy the lock. This is nothing. Cracks open a little bit. You might not be able to repair this lock now. It opens inward, and within, the carpet that you're standing on now ends, and it's tile again. There are no lights within, but through like this ambient light that's coming through the door that you opened, you see paintings along the wall in golden frames, obelisks on which there are like different statues and carvings.
Here's what I would like to do as fast as possible, and with not zero regard for how much I may hurt these paintings, but like I'm not trying to be dainty, right? A knife comes out. I take the first painting like off the wall in its frame, and I set it on the floor, and I just cut it out of the frame. This takes more time than just like taking items off of obelisks. And so she's gonna do one more painting and then grab, I think she's gonna do two and two. So two paintings, roll them up, just like tie them on, and then just grab two objects that from her thievery look the most valuable, but she's not gonna like work that hard, right? She's not gonna appraise anything. So then,
on the other side, you hear, summon the watch. You hear, thum, 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 as a guard runs out, and you hear him, and it's, alarum.
Does it sound like he's yelling? He's running and yelling?
He's running toward the direction from which you originally came.
I feel like it's like a split second decision, right? She wants to see if she can take advantage of this, and the first sign that it won't work, she'll give that up. But he's being really loud, right? Mm-hmm. What she wants to try to do is like open her door. And as I hear these like heavy metal boots run out, she wants to see if she can just follow that sound path, because people in their heads are already thinking it's this dude that we just dispatched to go yell alarm. She kind of wants to just like run out after him.
I think your stealth is fine for this. Give me a performance check.
Okay. It's really bad. It's a 6.
You start running after him. You push past this like bright area where the torches are lit at the front. As you enter into this darkness, you hear behind you, we had an intruder! Intruder! Do you hazard to look back?
I don't look back, but what I want to do is that if I'm entering, like I'm using him to get out of the like obviously well-lit space, right? And so if we're out of the house and into an area that is darker, if she's following him, she wants to start veering off in a V. The ultimate goal is to take like a roundabout way home. It's like, that's great that they knew someone was there. That's fine. Someone did just get murdered, so.
Ahead of you, like where the guard is going the other direction, you hear this cacophony of voices and alarm.
Guards yelling to each other.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
As you kind of duck into like a side alley in the darkness, veering out, you're between houses now. There's a toll of a bell. Ding, ding, ding. You come to an intersection, and a guard is coming the other way with his sword out. You steel yourself to respond, but he looks past you and he says, "Get back in that." As the guard was yelling at somebody who had emerged from the door. across the intersection.
Yeah.
You look behind you finally. You've made it. The Thief is an original adventure written and produced by me, Michael Schofield, played by CC Way, with voices by Christian Byrne, Strawberrio, and Patrick Durkovich Rakas. The music you heard is by Will Sorvino, Ivan Dutch, and Tabletop Audio, who you can support like I do at patreon.com/IvanDutch and patreon.com/TabletopAudio, respectively. My Patreon is split with the performers and players, and any profit is invested in sound effects and voice actors, so I couldn't do this without the support of our Fjord, our Thane Trey Brundrett, and spear throwers Rebecca Monson, Laura Spears, Andy Priestner, Joshua Simpson, and Kevin Wilson. You can join the Fjord for free and help me make more stories about the Ainthrn and the legacy of Caladhrim at patreon.com/Michael Schofield. I'll see you next time.